Well, praise the Lord. I didn't know what to expect, but it was a lovely atmosphere of the Spirit of God here. Amen. Brother said that I'd give you a little more. I won't talk too much because I tend to be long-winded. So I'll save most of it for the message. How many speak Chinese here? Yeah. I was born in Peking. And those who don't understand it, I'm going to just say a verse in Chinese. You all know it in English, so you won't be lost, okay? John 3:16. 神爱世人, 甚至将他的独生子赐给他们, 叫一切信他的不至灭亡反得永生。 约翰3:16节, amen. So that's enough of showing off. God is good, isn't he? He's been very faithful. And I won't say any more about myself, because during my messages, I'll be telling a lot of stories and you'll learn things then. Okay? Father, right now, I thank you for your faithfulness to us, for your strength, and above all, for your anointing this morning, Lord. You were here in a beautiful way. And I pray, Lord, you're going to take the word of God and you're going to speak it into our hearts. You're going to stir our hearts. You're going to awaken our hearts. And Lord, you're going to see the fruit of it by your name being glorified, by our lives turning to you. I thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. And in case you're wondering how old the old lady is, I'm 81. All right. I'll be 82 in January, so now you can just concentrate on my message, okay? Praise the Lord. Today I want to talk about the importance of the presence of God, all right? And tonight my message will be acknowledging our need of the presence of God. So those of you that are coming and those who aren't, if God speaks to you, you drive there and enjoy another message from God himself, all right? I just want you to realize that the Christian life, all right, is more than just praying a sinner's prayer of repentance, all right? It's more than making sure you come to all the services, more than, you know, make sure I read my Bible every day and pay my tithes, like we just did, all right? It's actually a life of walking and talking with God. It's a life, all right, of having that close and intimate fellowship with the Lord. And many times people don't understand this, but today I just want to talk about the importance of having intimate, personal fellowship with God. And it's his presence that is so important to this. A lot of people think it's just religion, you know. It's not religion. Religion is just a bunch of outward formalities. But really knowing the Lord, it's a walk with him, a talk with him. He's real. He lives. That song is so, it's an old song. And he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. There's nothing like being affirmed by the Lord himself. I remember one time when I was in Singapore. We went to Singapore in 1955. So I've been out here in this area most of that time. And I was in our house in the living room. I don't know why that day I was down. I was down in the dumps, all right? And I got up from the living room chair and I walked through the dining part in just into the archway that went into the kitchen. And when I got right in the archway, I just heard the Lord say, I love you. Oh, my hands went in the air and I just stood there and I just worshiped and praised him. That lifted my spirit. Just having him personally say, I love you. I love you. Hearing his voice is so important, all right? And if you read the Bible and you don't hear him speak to you, that's the thing that makes it, you know. Keep reading and just say, Lord, I don't want to stop reading till the verses speak to my heart, till they move me, till they stir me. Amen. Because that's what it's all about, having him really touch your life. Well, I want you to turn to the book of Exodus. In fact, I always have a lot of verses, so you can either follow or listen. All right. Exodus 33. Verse 9, all right, 11, 12, and 13. This is the time when it tells us that the Lord talked with Moses in verse 9, all right. And I'm not going to read the whole verse here, but it just says the Lord talked with Moses, all right. Then in verse 11, it says the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Wow. Face to face. Not way out there somewhere. Just like, and just that close, intimate. All right. Face to face as he would unto his friend. In verse 13, we will see that Moses longed to know God. He wasn't satisfied that God knew him. If we go to verse 12, all right, the end of verse 12, here Moses is reminding God of what God spoke to him face to face. He said at the end, you have said, I know you by name, and that I have also found grace in your sight, or favor in your sight. But one thing you haven't told me, God, you've told me to go up, go to Egypt and appear before Pharaoh, but you didn't tell me who you're going to send with me. I'd like to know who you're going to send. We have a right to ask God questions. I remember one time that, I wish it wasn't that way, but at that time I was very disillusioned in my heart about the organization that I belonged to. All right. And when we went out to Singapore, we went out as independent faith missionaries, mainly just because they didn't think they needed people that spoke Mandarin in Singapore. They said, we don't want to send you to Singapore. And we felt God was calling us there. So we went out on our own. But later, they invited us to join them. And so we did. But I was disillusioned and I was praying. You know, do we stay or do we go? Actually, it wasn't my job. That was my husband's job. But I didn't know that in those days. I thought I had to run the show. So I really prayed. And I remember reading a story where somebody said, you know, I just told the Lord what I wanted, how I wanted it, and the Lord just answered. And so I said, wow, if it works for them, it can work for me. So that's what I said. I said, Lord, tonight when I'm in prayer meeting, it's a prayer meeting where everybody gets to, you know, just minister to the Lord. Nobody leads the service. Let the Holy Spirit lead. So I said, Lord, let somebody stand up and give a message, and I will know that message is to me. All right. I said, I'm expecting my answer that way. So I went to church that night. I can't say I went to really worship the Lord. I went to get my answer. And when I got in the service, every part, I was just, you know, waiting. Pretty soon, a young man at the back of the church stood up and said, there's somebody at the crossroads of their life, and they're wanting to get an answer from God. And this is what God, whoa, my ears got big. That's for me. That's for me. And he said, God said, it's not for you to know right now. I will let you know later. Well, I didn't know any more than I did. He answered my prayer, but he just said, not now. Not now. You don't need the answer now. You know, a year later, I found out what the answer was. The answer was you stay. You don't go. All right. I even tried to persuade my husband. Oh, my husband, a lot of people think that I'm the head of the family. I'm not. I'm telling you, I might be the neck that helps to turn the head once in a while, but I found out who was the boss that day. And when I said, oh, let's just leave, look at that, and I gave all the reasons. My husband said, God called us in. I haven't heard him say leave, and we don't leave till God says leave. And that settled it right then and there. And we're still in that organization, but serving the Lord faithfully. Amen. God is a good God. So a year later, I was driving the van and I said, Lord, why couldn't you have told me a year ago? I asked you, I prayed, I sought your face. Why did you make me wait a whole year before I found out that I need to stay in the organization? And God just answered me so readily. He just spoke into my heart and he said, because you weren't ready for it. Had I told you, you would have been very angry and you would have turned your back on me and got angry with me. I waited till you matured enough to receive my answer. You see, God is a loving God. Yes, he'll commune. He doesn't just at every job, give me this, give me that, do this, do that. I mean, Abraham waited 20 years for the promise to be fulfilled. Isn't that right? I waited 20 years to see my second son that was away from God, totally in sin and, you know, degradation. 20 years of praying for him every day, every day, every day. But he's in the ministry now. He's a pastor preaching the word of God. I tell you, friend, sometimes we just wait for God's answers, but he will answer. Amen. He will talk to us. So here we see in verse 13, Moses longed to know God. All right. He wasn't satisfied that God knew him. Too many of us, once we're saved, well, God has written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm not going to hell. So praise God, I'll make it to heaven. And that settles it. But no, we need to know God. I tell you, it says his riches are unsearchable. That means you can never fully know God. There's always something more to learn about him. So don't settle down and say, oh, I've been a Christian how many years and I've read it all, I've heard it all. No, you don't begin to know God yet. Amen. And only God can reveal himself to us. All right. So this is what he says in verse 13. He says, Lord, show me now your way that I may know you so I can continue to find favor in your sight. See, if you really want to know somebody, you have to learn to know their ways. Isn't that right? You know, before I married my husband, oh my, I wanted to make sure that he knew everything bad about me. Most people want, they just want to show a good front. No, 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 no. I didn't want to get married and then he find out things and then he gets upset and gets rid of me. I wanted to make sure this was going to last forever. And I said, I told him everything. The main thing I said is I just have a violent temper. I have a violent, I want you to know it. He wanted to marry me. I said, I just want you to know I have a violent temper. All right. And his response was, you're cute when you're angry. I think he changed his mind after we got married. But nevertheless, I thought I knew him inside and out. But you don't know people. Even when you marry them, you don't know them. You know, I've been married 61 years. And there's still things that you learn about the other guy that it's like, whoa, I didn't know you had that in you, see? Anyways, you love him more and more. But I remember the first time after we came back from honeymoon, moved into our house, and I was cooking him the first meal. So breakfast is my favorite meal. He doesn't like breakfast, but I've persuaded him to eat breakfast over the years. I fixed him this regular American breakfast, you know, bacon and eggs. I was very proud of myself. Put the plate in front of him, and he took one look at it, And he looked at me and he said, "What is this? What is this?" I said, "What do you think it is? It's bacon and eggs." He says, "That's not bacon. That is raw meat. That's not the way to cook bacon." I said, "Well, how did I know? That's the way my father ate it. Throw it in, out it comes, and you eat it. You know, you just out of the frying pan, and then you eat it." "No," he said, "you got to fry it till all the oil comes out. It's hard. It's crispy. You put it in your mouth, crunch, crunch. That's bacon." You know, I've never made it raw again. I wanted to please him. I learned his ways. Do you want to learn to please God? Then learn his ways. Moses said, "Show me now your ways." There's a verse in the Bible that says he showed Moses his ways, his acts unto the children of Israel. In other words, he did miracles for the children of Israel. They saw that. But it was Moses that learned to know the ways of God. And those that saw the miracles, they grieved the heart of God. He said, they're always in their heart erring, going astray, because they have not known my ways. Oh, friends. We need to know his way. Anyways, Moses said, "Show me now your way so I can continue to find grace in your sight." And this is God's response. We find it there in verse 14. All right. "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest." That was God's answer. Amen. I'm not sending somebody else with you. My presence is going to go with you. That is God's answer for you and myself. I will give you rest. And when I was restudying it, I've been studying it for how long? Just I want it in my spirit, because sometimes I don't see as well and I stumble around with the notes. But this morning early when I was going over it again and just, you know, taking it into my spirit, this, "I will give you rest." Don't think he, you know, sometimes, "Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. I need assurance. I need confidence. I need rest." He doesn't just wrap up a package and give you a package. It's himself. It's his presence that gives rest. If we don't have his presence, there's no rest. This is internal, inner, internal peace and rest. All right. A calmness, a quietness within. In fact, when this rest comes within, it takes care of all the past. It takes care of the guilt. It takes care of remorse, takes care of condemnation, takes care of fear, anxiety, all those things. When the rest of God is realized in our spirit, everything is just wonderful. Amen. God is near. God is close. I remember one time when my son was 15 years old and we were having a big youth rally in town. So we used to take lorries to go, and all of us went there. I didn't know in the afternoon he had taken his bicycle down to the welding shop. Something had gone wrong. He knew the man very well, and he asked him, "Please, can you weld this part of my bicycle?" And the man was busy, and he said, "No, you have to wait. You just wait. I'm busy here." But my son was impatient. This is Pastor Rick, my oldest son. He said, "Just show me how to do it. I'll do it myself. I won't trouble you. You just show me how." So he said, "Okay, over there, there's a mask and there's the torch. And you've seen me do it. You go ahead and do it." So he went and, you know, put the mask on and so forth. Well, then after that, he came to a youth rally with all the rest of us. But he left early. I didn't know. He left on his own. And when I got home and went into my bedroom and turned the light on, somebody was in my bed saying, "Turn the light off, turn the light off." It was my son, Rick. I said, "Why?" And then he tells me this story. He said, "Mom, when that mask was over my eyes, I couldn't see. So I pulled it up and welded my bicycle. But during the meeting, my eyes began to burn and they're on fire. I can't stand it. I can't stand light. Of course, I turned the light off, but the fear that gripped my heart, I immediately got a vision. I saw my son, 15 years old, with blind eyes. And the fear that caught me, I'm telling you, faith just fled. It just fled. And I put my face into the air con was on. I put it into the blanket on his bed, mainly because I didn't want him to hear me. I buried my face in the blanket, knelt by the side of the bed, and I began to cry out to God. Not for him, for me. You know why? I screamed into that pillow, that blanket. I said, Lord, where are you? Jesus, you feel 1,000 miles away. I have no faith. I need you. I must have you. I can't face this without you, Lord. And as I was screaming into that blanket, letting it muffle my screams, suddenly my voice just calmed down, and my ears heard my own mouth saying, I wasn't aware, I heard myself saying, oh, Jesus, you're here, you're here. And that's when I realized my spirit had kicked in. God's presence was there. My spirit sensed the presence of Jesus, and the rest that came into my spirit was the fear left, everything left. Everything was fine. I got up. I laid hands on him. I prayed. I was not afraid any longer. Amen. It's another story how the Lord healed him the next day totally. But I can see I'm taking too much time, so I've got to move on here. But I just want you to know the rest of God by his presence removes all of those things. All right. He not only says that he will give us rest, but he says his presence will give us confidence and assurance that so we can face today. The rest will take care of the past, but the confidence that comes when his presence comes helps us to face whatever it is today. All right. And we know from the word of God, his presence gives us hope for the future. Isn't that right? Amen. So I just want us to see here in Isaiah chapter 30. Verse 15. You see, instead of having rest, there's a lot of Christians who are filled with worry, anxiety, fear, and so forth. All right. And all this is to let us know we are not in his presence. We're not aware of his presence, or we wouldn't be having all of this. Isaiah verse 30. Chapter 30, verse 15 says, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. All right. In returning and rest shall ye be saved. So let's see here. The reason that we are filled with the stress, anxiety, and turmoil is because we're trying to manage our own lives. All right. We're trying to manage our future. All right. We're trying to work things out with our own natural resources instead of turning it over to him. And I would like you to realize here, anybody that has a problem with fear, okay, don't raise your hand, but you know who you are. You have a problem with fear. If you look at your life, you're a very controlling person. Very controlling. You know why? The fear makes you want to control all your circumstances so everything will be just right for you. So the things you fear won't happen to you. You must control people. You must control circumstances. You want to control everything. You know, one time I had a dream. The Lord was trying to show me. God speaks to me through dreams and things like that. I've always said maybe too hard of a head that he can't get through to me otherwise. But this time I dreamt that church was over, and I told a couple of ladies, I said, you know, I'm on my way. I'll drop you home. So these two ladies got in my car, and I was driving the car, and we came to a very steep incline like this. It went down very steeply. And as I'm going, the car began going faster than what I liked. So I went to put my brake on in the dream. All right. And when I put my foot there, there was no brake. Whether the brakes had gone out or there was, no, I don't know. There was nothing. And And in my dream, I said to these two ladies, I am so sorry. I really meant to help you. I wanted to take you to your homes, but it looks like in the end, I'm going to kill you. It would be my fault because we were going to crash. And I woke up from my dream with a start and I heard the voice of the Lord so clearly. He said, since you can't control the circumstances, why don't you give me the steering wheel as well? Hello? I never thought of it. Lord, you're right. Why am I trying to control my life, steer it, go, you know? Let him have it. Release it to him. That's why he says, in returning and rest, returning to him, all right? And rest, will you be saved? Saved, rescued, delivered, liberated, all right? Given the victory, all right? So let's just release it all to him, all right? David understood this. David understood this, that we need the Lord and there's actually no other way. Turn with me over to the book of Psalms. Psalms 27, I'm sorry. Starting with verse 1. He says, the Lord is my light. All right. The Lord is my light. We need the Lord. There is no other way. We have to have the Lord. All right. And if I'm just going to take some of those words and just stress them. The Lord is my light. Not books. All right. Not degrees, not education, all right? Not all these things that people turn to. Those things aren't going to help you. It is the Lord who is our light. He's the one that will cause us to see. He's the one that has all the answers. He's the one that will give us whatever it is that we need to know and understand. He understands the deepest things. He knows the reasons why people do what they do. He knows why you're thinking the thought you're thinking. He knows our motivations. He can see it all, friends. You don't find it in a book. He has the answer. He, the Lord, is my light. Is right now. All right. Present. Not he was. Oh, that's the way it used to be. No, not he's going to be. I'm planning to do it. But right now, I'm going to ask you, is the Lord your light? How are you learning things? Where do you go when you need an answer? I'm here to tell you, friends, many times we do everything else except come to God. But if we'll just come to God, we could cut short a lot of that. I'm beginning to learn at this age finally that, you know, he sees everything. When you lose things, look till you're tired. Why not just bring it to him? And just say, Lord, your eyes are on it. Let my eyes go on it. I've learned to do that. And many a time, I'll just get a flash of a drawer. And I recognize that drawer. I see myself opening. I run. And there it is, you know. Or I get under that thing or in there or there. Whatever it is, he can show you. The Lord is my light. That's what he says. My is personal. He's taken a hold of it. And it says, and my salvation, all right, whom shall I fear? Salvation is the safety, the deliverance, the welfare, all right? The Lord is the strength of my life. I used to think that meant the ability. No. When I looked up that word, it means the place or means of refuge and protection and safety. It's like a fortress. He's my fortress. I can run into him. Who can get me when I'm in the Lord? Amen. And so this is why we've been called to this intimate fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. And friends, I just want you to know we need the Lord because you and I are limited. We're limited, all right, in knowledge and understanding. We're limited about our future. We're limited about, you know, our welfare, our internal welfare especially. We're limited about our bodies. And we just need God to tell us these things. Sometimes we don't think of it like that. I've heard people say, don't bother the Lord with little things. Hello? If you don't learn to believe him for little things, what makes you think you've got faith for big things? You learn with the little things. Trust him for little things. Go to him with your little problems. And as he begins to answer them, your faith will grow, amen, to believe him for the bigger things. How many of you know that you're going to be alive tomorrow? We all hope to be. But how many of you can say for sure, I'm going to be alive tomorrow? No, we can't. I remember a lady in the last church that we pastored in Elam Church. She was maybe in her 60s, and it was Mother's Day. That's why I remember it so well. And she was the mother of many of the families, like the sons or the daughters of families. And she came that morning, and everybody was just rejoicing, you know. And then when the service was over, the family took her out to eat. Oh, they had a lovely time. 3 o'clock, she was dead. Nothing wrong with her. She wasn't sick. She had no reason. But by 3 o'clock, she was dead. I mean, all of us in the church, we were shocked. She was well and sound at 12 o'clock. When the service closed at 12:31, whatever it was, she was okay. 3 o'clock, she was dead. Who ever heard of such a thing? But you see, God knows our future. We need him. And he prepares us for the future. Amen. He will show us things. How many of us know our internal state? We don't. Sometimes we think we're really okay with God. And when my mother lived with us for a couple of years out there, I was really busy. I was a mother. I was a wife. I was a pastor. I was a teacher. I was teaching, preaching, raising my family, giving, you know, discipling, personal discipling. I taught in Bible school. I mean, I was just go, 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 go from morning till night. I mean, you would have thought, definitely I had something. But God gave me a dream. And in that dream, my husband phoned. In the natural, he would never do this. But he phoned the house and he said, Marge, I've met 20 starving people. They're starving and I have invited them home. I said, you would cook breakfast for them. And before I could say boo, you know, he just put the phone down. And I was 20 people coming for breakfast. Whoa. And I ran into the big kitchen that we had. It used to be a tuck shop in a school. And I looked every cupboard. I went to the fridge first, empty. All the cupboards, empty. All the down cupboards, empty, empty, empty. Nothing but, you know, cockroach droppings and rat little turds, you know. And oh, I mean, I got up and I was just horrified. And I just didn't have anything. By then, the door opens. My kitchen door opens and in file these 20 people. They're drooling at the mouth in anticipation, wringing their hands saying, thank you, Mrs. Seward, thank you, in anticipation of this breakfast. And I'm wringing my hands for a different reason altogether. I said, but you don't understand, my cupboards are bare. And I woke up. I didn't get it. And I went to tell my mother and my husband who were in the kitchen about this dream. And they immediately started to scold me, you know. Don't let the devil lie to you. You're so busy. Da, da, da. But when I said, my cupboards are bare, I said, that's it. That's spiritual. God is saying, I don't have anything to give out. And the Lord showed me through that. I've been giving head to head, you know, full of knowledge puffeth up. Love edifies. Has to come from the Spirit. It has. That's why we need him. He's our light. He has to reveal it to our spirits, not just to our head. And I really got things right with the Lord. But it was the Lord that showed me that. I didn't learn it on my own, all right? I remember one time in talking about our bodies. How many of you know how your body functions? I was living in Penang at the time. And when I I developed something wrong with my back, like it was out of kilter, you know, so I was in excruciating pain all the time. There was a lady friend, a missionary, who used to be in Singapore, and she'd gone to Thailand, and she heard I was in Penang, so she wrote me and said she wanted to come and visit. So she came down to our place, Siglinda Fry, and she said she saw me with this pain, you know, and she could see by my face I was in pain. She said, why don't we just ask the Lord why? What is it that's causing this terrible pain? So I said, okay. You know, I wasn't really sure how to, I'd never done a thing like that. Now, Lord, why does my back pain? I never thought of asking the Lord about that. And so we went in my bedroom. I said, you take charge, because I didn't know how to go about it even. All right. So we sat down on the floor, our backs against the bed, our legs out. And she just took charge. She says, now, Lord, you see Sister Marge here. You see that pain and agony. And why is it? Lord, we know you can heal, but we need to know why it's like that so we can pray against whatever it is. Show us, Lord. Show us the cause. Well, God didn't show her. She's the one praying. He showed me. All right? God spoke very clearly. He said, it's that purse you carry around. It's, you know, one of these sling bags. You carry it here. And in those days, I carried my whole house in my purse, you know. So he said, you put it on that shoulder, and then it's pulling your back out of shape. Get rid of that bag, and your back will go into place. You know, I got rid of the bag, never used one like that again. Don't have the problem with my back. See, God can do anything. He's our light. Amen. We need him. Praise the Lord. All right. So now you're going to get scared when I tell you this, but it's OK. It's not going to take long. All right. All of that was my introduction. I'm going to talk to you very briefly about four things that God's presence gives us. We've already talked about light. All right. God is light. But I want to just stress another couple of things about that, all right? In 1 John 1:5, God's presence gives light. It says, this then is the message which you have heard of him, and we declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, that's sin. We lie and do not the truth. You see, from what I learned in this, and I'll read one more verse there, is that your words and your walk must agree. It's not enough to say, oh, yes, I have the presence of God. Oh, yes, I know God. Oh, yes, I'm in fellowship with God. But if your lifestyle is not in keeping with a God who has no darkness, it says we're lying to say that. See, there's a lot of Christians who let unforgiveness come in their heart. And yet they go on and act like nothing is wrong. Nothing is wrong. But I'm telling you, unforgiveness is sin. The moment we refuse to forgive somebody from our heart, God says he can't forgive us. It's a terrible thing. So it says, don't do that. All right. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light. See, you're given a model. We're given a model how to walk. The way Jesus walked. He does what he sees God do. He does says what he hears God say. And he never allowed anything else to come in. We have fellowship one with another. The proof of whether we're right with God is, are we right with our fellow man? There it is. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. All right? There's another verse that says in Psalms 36:9, with thee is the fountain of light, and in thy light shall we see light. Let me explain this verse, that when the Lord revealed that to me, it helped me a lot. This room right now is quite lit up because of, you know, the lights we have, neon lights. But how many of you can see dust in this room? Can you see it in the air? We know it's there, but you don't see it. But say we open up a window and the noonday sun is very bright and powerful, and there's comes that shaft of light. Ever seen one? You know, like that. You look into that shaft. Wow. You can see dust literally dancing in it, isn't it? It's like, wow, I didn't know there was so much dust in this room. So when God shines light into us, when his presence comes like that, you see things like you never saw it before. You recognize what's wrong, what's right, the answers to things in his light. Oh, then we see light. We need his presence. Amen. Psalms 119, verse 130. The entrance of your words giveth light. All right. Not the reading of their word. Many people read God's word. Even the Soviets, I've heard them quote God's word. It doesn't do them any good. All right. But the entrance of thy word giveth light. It gives understanding to the simple. So as we read God's word, when it enters our spirit, whoa, then the light comes. Then we see it. We call that a rhema from Jesus, all right? When you read the Bible and it just speaks to your heart and you understand it, that's the Lord speaking to you. Last but not least, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, all right? Searching the inwards part. So the spirit of man, the Bible says, is the candle of the Lord. Our spirit is the candle, but he is that flame that ignites, all right, and reveals. He's the God of revelation. He's the God that can show us things. The second thing is his presence gives us joy. His presence gives us joy. Look at Psalm 16, verse 8. In thy presence is what? Fullness of joy. This prophecy is about Jesus. It's also quoted in the New Testament in Acts chapter 2. I have set the Lord always before me. In other words, his eyes were on the Lord because he's at my right hand, which speaks of righteousness, the right hand of his righteousness. All right. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, my glory or my tongue begins to rejoice. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Who's seated at the right hand of the Father? Jesus. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. Amen. So we see God's presence when we enter into his presence, when his presence comes into us, it comes with joy. Now, I don't know about you, but many times women cry, not because they're sad, but they cry for joy. Have you men ever noticed that about women? My first Christmas, my husband gave me a watch. It was his mother and father were there, and just he and I, just the four of us. And when I opened the package and I saw the watch, I started to cry. And my husband, don't you like it? I said, I love it. He said, then what are you crying for? I said, I'm crying because I'm so happy. So that kind of crying is okay. All right. After you wipe your tears, the joy is there. The joy is there. Sometimes we weep in the presence of God. After you wipe those tears away, you'll find such a joy because his presence always gives joy. At Nehemiah 8:10, we all know this one very well. It says, he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our God, neither be ye sorry. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's our spiritual strength. And a Christian who is filled with joy can face many hardships and not succumb. That's why the devil will try to get things in your way to steal your joy. He's a thief. He comes to steal, kill, destroy. The thing he comes to steal is your joy. That'll be the first thing he takes. Get you all out of sorts. Get you mad. Get you down. Da, 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 da. Don't allow it. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's why we need his presence every day. Every day we need his presence so that his joy, praise the Lord, can come into us. Hallelujah. And fill us. His presence, the third one is, his presence gives us confidence. Confidence. Let's read that 27:1 again. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Wow. What confidence, all right? What confidence. Once we know God is my light, God is my salvation, God is my refuge, we know it and his presence is there, we're not afraid of anything. There's such a confidence. The situation can be terrible, but there's an assurance and a confidence. My mother was a great example to me, a great example to me. And I remember this story, hearing her tell it. Other things I remember seeing with my own eyes. But this one was when she was a young lady, and she was at that time the only one working in her family to provide for the money to feed the whole family. And in America, I don't know about here. I think this is something like Singapore. But in America, when it gets dark, 5 o'clock even, it's already dark, all right, in winter. So this was winter time, and she was coming home for work outside. It was already dark. She was on a tram car. Every day she took that electric tram and pull the thing when she wanted to get off, and she had to cross the street and go this lonely path through the woods all alone, but she knew the Lord, and she would just walk in her house. It was way at the end of that. That day, when she pulled it, a man stood up in the back. He pulled it also, and he got up to the door right next to her, and he took her by the elbow like this, and he said, you know, it's too dark for a young lady to be walking home alone. I'll walk with you. And my mother said, it's all right. I do it every day. I don't need anybody to walk with me. Well, he says, I insist. And he just firmly held her and helped her down the steps, and they crossed the street. And when they, you know, came to that lonely road, they had to walk. My mother sent an SOS up in her heart. Lord, I need help. I need help. As they're walking, there was a path to the left and a deserted house at the end of that. And when they got there, he turned her like this. And she said, I don't live here. He said, well, we're going here. And he gave her a shove like that. She sent the second SOS, and she was pretty desperate. She said, Lord, I need help now. And she said she heard it. She heard the sound so clearly it came between him and her, all right? And she said it went a noise like that. And she just said, oh, there he is. He said, there, who is? She said very calmly, why, the angel of the Lord, he's here. And he just dropped her arm. He turned and he ran. He ran as fast as he could. Now, friends, if she was making that up, he would have given her one tight slap. But the angel of the Lord came. No one could see, but I tell you, that angel puts fear in people's hearts that don't know God. And the fear of God gripped him, and he dropped her, and he ran. She turned around praising God and walked on and got to her home safely. I've never forgot that story. God is our refuge. He's our strength, a very present help in trouble, isn't that? He gives confidence, all right? I remember when I was a little girl and we were on a big Japanese ship going one way or the other. I can't remember coming from America here or going from China to America, but we got into the middle of a huge typhoon. The ship was quite mutilated. I remember the dining room was almost ankle deep in water. That's how much water had come in. The railings around had been just twisted, so they had the big storm gates up. We were in a class 3 cabin, so there was no toilet there. And in the night, I needed to go to the bathroom. So my mother was walking me down the long hall to go to the public toilet, ladies' toilet. And it was right outside of that was the door to go to the deck. And there was this short little Jewish man. He was so frightened and against the rules. They had been told, do not open those storm gates. But he had opened it and he was drenched because a big wave had come and drenched him. He managed to somehow get it shut again. But he was just shaking, you know. And he turns around and sees my mother and I calmly walking down toward him. And he grabbed my mother by the shoulders and shook her like this. He said, what is wrong with you? Why aren't you afraid? He was so afraid and he couldn't. How come you're just, you know, calmly walking like that? And my mother said to him, because I have Jesus in my heart. If the ship goes down, I'm going to heaven. And if God doesn't want me to go now, then he's going to protect me. That's why I'm not afraid. I saw it with my own eyes, the calmness that was in her. Amen. So the last point is that he gives us victory. Amen. He gives us victory. His presence. Verse Psalms 27:1. The Lord is the strength of my life. All right. I told you that's a place or means of safety, a stronghold, a fortress, a refuge. That he's our protection. Amen. We know that verse that says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. All right. Let's go to that verse 2 of 27. He's my victory. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. What is that? All right. That the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my strength or my fortress. That's what is going to give me, all right, the confidence, all right. I will be confident of this very thing, all right. I don't have to be afraid, all right. One thing in verse 4, it says that he is desired, and I'm not going to go into that verse, but it's just that he would abide in the presence of the Lord, that he would abide in the presence of the Lord. Verse 5, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me. Amen. See, when we have his presence, God hides us. Whether he hides us from the eyes of people, whether he hides us from their fury, whether he hides us from, I don't know exactly what it's meaning. It could be different things. But he will hide us. We don't have to. I'm reminded of Jesus. You know, when he would tell the truth, how many times they picked up stones to stone him. But because it wasn't his time, the Lord just, I guess, made him invisible. Because there they are ready to kill him, and he just walks through the midst of them, and nothing happens to him. It's like they're not aware of him. God can do that for us. I don't have time. I had more stories, but I can see that clock's creaking away. So we're going to finish this, all right? It says, he'll set me up upon a rock. That means he'll establish us. Verse 6, he gives us the victory. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies. Amen. Round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. I don't know, but every time I read this about my head shall be lifted up. This is where the devil attacks me. I don't know where he attacks you. It's in the mind. It's in the thoughts. You know. But when the Lord lifts our head above, hallelujah, we get on top of all that. Amen. We're above it all. And we recognize the lies. And we're able to pull it down. Amen. Through Jesus. Isn't that right? I will never forget when I was teaching in the School of Acts in KL. And teaching on deliverance and doing deliverances. And this one lady came and she was from India. Both she and her husband, they were pastors. She was expecting and she was big, ready to give birth. All right. And no matter what we did, she couldn't seem to come through to victory. All right. We'd gone through everything, all the different things, rebuke, this, that. But she was still woe be gone, you know. And the Lord just dropped into my heart. And I just prayed over her and I said, I've never done this before, but I'm just going to ask God to shine light into your and reveal to you. You're believing a lie, some lie you're believing. God's going to show you what that lie is. And, you know, you can be free from that lie. And so as we prayed, suddenly she just cried out. She said, "That's it. That's it. I renounce you. I don't want you." I don't remember. I do many deliverances. I don't remember what the lie for her was, but she renounced it. And suddenly she was just transformed. She jumped up from that chair. She not only jumped up and started to dance around. There was a lady helping me. She grabbed this lady. Now, this woman who we prayed for is big with child. She grabbed this other lady up in her arms off the floor and went dancing around the room, shouting and praising God. "I'm free. I'm free. I'm free." The other lady was just so shocked, smiling, of course. She was happily shocked. But the transformation was just tremendous. And I see this. Her head was lifted up. She suddenly saw and realized the lie. When she quit believing it, she was the conqueror. The joy came back in her heart and she went sailing around. Friends, we need him. We need him for the light, confidence, the joy, the victory. All right. Verse 8 says, "When you said, 'Seek ye my face,'" God does that to us every once in a while. Sometimes it's at a time when we don't realize that we think we don't need it, all right? "Seek ye my face. My heart said unto you, 'Thy face, Lord, will I seek.'" Let that be the response. No matter when he calls us, in the middle of the night, in the day, in whatever it is, stop this, set aside, start seeking me. Listen to him. Let your heart respond. "I will seek you." So I'm just going to conclude with this, all right? Bow your heads, close your eyes. Let's seek him. Let's seek his face. Let's seek his presence. Let's seek to abide in his presence. And above all, let's seek to obey his leading and his guidance in our life. I don't know you. I don't know any of you. So I don't know what you're going through. But I just know God's answer is himself. It's his presence. Only his presence can give that rest. Can give you that rest that you need within your spirit. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if God is speaking something to your heart through this word, whatever it might be, and you want to just give a few moments to really seek the Lord for a few months, you're not coming to me, you're coming. There's something about taking a step forward to an open sign. God, you've spoken to me. I'm going to respond. It seals something in our hearts for what God is trying to do. Don't just walk out of here and say, "He spoke to me and I'll take care of it," because the devil will be right at the door to take it away from you. If God has spoken to you in any way, or if you sense your heart has, it doesn't have that rest. There's worry, there's fear, there's anxiety, there's stress, there's turmoil. You try to cover it. You try not to broadcast it. But down deep, you know it. And you just want to seek him for himself today. Then I just invite us all to stand to our feet. And as they sing or play very softly, then those of you that want to respond to the Lord, as David said, "You said, 'Seek my face.' My heart said, 'Thy face, Lord, will I seek.'" If God is speaking to you, if God is touching you, if God is moving on you now and you want to respond to his voice, it's him. It's not me. It's not another one of God's ministers. It's him. His spirit is here. Let's all stand to our feet, should we? And if God is speaking to you as they begin to sing softly, just come up here in the front and we're going to spend some time in God's presence.